Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 8. Acts chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 8. Brother Dan, I never got a battery in that watch. I thought I was going to get started faster today. It's already 10:30. Acts chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 8. We'll read through verse 14. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. And then our memory verse, Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Our prayer life, mine and your prayer life. Sorry about that. To get under that light up there, and Dan, what are you gonna do? Turn on the no, it oh, it is off. No wonder I'm not getting under it. Thanks, Dan. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The church came together to pray. That church, the first century church, came together to pray. This church, we as a body, last week our verse, individually, we're all part of the body. Collectively, we are the body. We are Christ. The church came together and prayed. They prayed in unity. We need to pray in unity. We need to seek God's face. We need to be praying for things and watching things happen. The Evans Chapel. Pastor's got a prayer that in 5 years that place is, I believe his vision is that it's self-standing in 5 years. What a blessing. We need to pray for that. All of us need to pray for that. Each one of us needs to pray for that. And collectively as a church, we need to pray together. What's the bumper sticker say? The family that prays together stays together, okay? As a church, we ought to pray together, pray for each other's needs. Following along in your lessons in Acts chapter 1, verse 10 through 14, we read that Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, and his disciples returned to Jerusalem. There they met in an upper room and prayed. The Bible says that the first century church continued with one accord in prayer, and that's what we need to do today. In the New Testament, we find the church having two, that should be T-W-O in your handout, distinctively different kinds of meetings. First, we find the church gathered together for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Then secondly, kind of meeting we find in the New Testament is one that many churches today have sadly neglected. It is the most necessary meeting, and that is a prayer meeting. That is a prayer meeting. Many churches today are going to Praise and worship, praise and worship, almost as if praise and worship were meant for mankind. Never, never in the Bible is worship for mankind. It's always for God. It's always for God. Churches today, it's their main things. Oh, we're going to go worship. No, they're not worshiping God. They're going for a good feeling in their music, in their what do they call the team up there on the platform? What do they call that team? The praise team. Churches today have lost it largely. But a prayer meeting, most important meeting of the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 20. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name alone is authority and power. He is our conquering Christ. We must come to God together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is our power, is our authority. I've said before that probably our greatest failures as Christians is when we do things in our own power and succeed. Because we've done it without Christ. Because we've done it without the will of God. If we are not careful, we will tend to force our way through life instead of faithing our way through life. If we are not careful, we would tend to force our way through life instead of faithing our way through life. The Bible says walk by faith. We walk by faith. Forcing our way through life. Lord, I can do this. I have the ability to do this without your help. Are we actually saying that verbally to God? No, I don't need your help. No. But when you and I attempt things for God and we don't pray, what is the message? That we don't need Him? And that's certainly not the case, and we know that. Yet we do things. We do things here in the ministry without praying. Do them in our own abilities. I mean, we've got some abilities. And if we don't be careful, we wind up doing things in our own ability. We need to walk by faith. Walk by faith as Christians. In our prayer lives, we need to walk by faith. The first century church declared its absolute dependence upon God. Acts 1:14. Declared its absolute dependence upon God. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The church met together, not to preach or teach, but to pray. They needed to know what to do. The Lord had gone. As they were standing there watching him go, two angels stood by them. They go back to Jerusalem. They meet. What do we do now? What do we do now? We pray and we ask the Lord for guidance and direction about what we do. They need to know what to do. They came together and they prayed, declaring dependence on God and waited on the Lord for an answer. We never waste time waiting on God. He is never late. He is never late. We never waste time waiting on God. He is never late. The first century church sought God for laborers through prayer. Turn with me to Matthew 9:37. Matthew 9:37-38. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest field is the world. Millions are lost in sin. As a church, we should pray for God to send forth laborers into the harvest field. Pray for others as they go. Pray that maybe God would send us. There's no place like God's will, no matter where it may be. If it's on the streets of Detroit and that's where the Lord has called you, I got a friend, I saw him when we went out to see Adam last month from Bible College, and he's on the streets there in his city. They say, we don't understand how you don't get killed out there. But he's out on the streets, and he always was that way. I remember in Bible College, he was always that way. He was always where people were. He was always taking the gospel. And 32 years later, he's still doing that. Thank the Lord. But he's out there. He's out there. God may call you. When missionaries come in town, have them to your house. No better blessing than to have a missionary in your house. You hear their heart. When they go away and you get your prayer letter or whatever, you know who that is. You know what the needs are. You care. You love them. Don't miss that opportunity to have a missionary in your house for a meal or a night. Man, get a couple hours with them. It'll sure make a difference in how you pray for them and your understanding of missions. The first century church came together as one body in agreement through prayer. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, of course, we know that as a passage of dealing with a brother that's walking disorderly. But we see here that if two of us agree and pray, that God will bind that and that will indeed stand. The first century church sought God's protection through prayer. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Disciples there sound asleep. Christ had gone on, came back, found them asleep. Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? A praying church will lift up one another in prayer, asking God to keep them from entering into temptation. Are you praying for our pastor? Are you praying for others in our church? The only way to win a victory is through prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. We put on all the armor. And then at the end of that, there's a colon. And it goes into the next verse. Just the armor won't do it in and of itself. Just having that won't. You look there at verse 17. At the end of verse 17, there's a colon. Then you go into verse 18, and it says what? Those first two words. Anybody know what they are? Praying always. Praying always. You've put on all the armor. You've done all that. We've done all that. Praying always. Praying always. The first century church had increased faith and enlarged vision through prayer. In Acts 4:23-29, I'm not going to turn there. We're I'm running out of time again. We find an example of praying in the church. In the face of opposition, they looked to heaven and said, "Thou art God," in verse 24. Their faith was increased and their vision enlarged. Why? Because they had been with God. They had been with God. Someone that walks with the Lord, when you talk with them, you know they walk with the Lord. Why? Because their conversation is different. When you have been with God in prayer, you will have the heart of God towards things here on earth, towards things in your life, when you've been with God in prayer. If you and I want to have a first century church, we are going to have to pay the price in prayer. If we want to have a first century church, we're going to have to pay the price. Anytime we want to do anything in life, we have to pay the price, don't we? How important is it to us? We have to pay the price. We have to pray. We have to spend time on our knees, on our bellies, whatever. We see many positions in Scripture, whatever yours is, to humble yourselves before God. But we're going to have to pay the price. Do we want to see the Evans Chapel go? Do we want it to be an independent work going all by itself through the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Do we? We're going to have to pay the price. We're going to have to pray. We have to pray. The first century church faced great trials through prayer. In Acts chapter 12, the church faced great trial because Peter and John were there. How did they deal with the crisis? They gathered together in Mary's house. Peter. And while they prayed, God delivered Peter. They had just killed, who had they just killed in the text? Stephen? They just killed one Christian. And Herod said, "Boy, the people like this. I'm going to kill some more." And he grabs Peter. And Peter's time's up, and they're having a fast day. And so Peter's put in prison. And after that's over, Peter's going to die. And what do God's people do? They get together and pray. They get together and pray. This is serious praying. They prayed. They prayed, and Peter himself couldn't hardly believe it. As the Lord took him out and first of all woke him up and said, "Hey, get up. It's time to go. Time to go," and the shackles fall off and the prison doors open before Peter and the Lord and they open and Peter knocks on the door and says, hey, Rhoda hears that. Hey, that's Peter's voice. Rhoda runs in and says, "Peter's here." No, Peter's in jail. No, we just prayed that Peter would be saved. The Lord delivered him. The Lord will answer our prayers. He will. When we pray in His will, He will answer our prayers. When we pray in faith, believing. The first century church sought God for opportunities to get out the gospel through prayer. Colossians 4, 1 through 3, the church was asked to pray that God would open unto us a door of utterance, an opportunity to share the gospel, for the gospel to go forward. Prayer is declaring our absolute dependence on God. Prayer is declaring our absolute dependence on God. When I do something without prayer, I'm doing it in my own strength. You and I need to pray and place our total trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is powerful. We've seen it so many times. Lord, we pray that your word would work in each one of these lives. Lord, might we take this lesson of prayer. Might we take it this week. Might we take it personally. Lord, might we pray. Might we pray differently. Might we pray more. Might we pray more fervently. Lord, help your word to reach lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.